Amen. Thanks, Gina. We need Jesus, don't we? Open up the floodgates. We want to see Him. Well, if you would, turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 14. Glad to be back today. I hate it when we have to miss a Sunday morning, and although we were able to meet last Sunday evening, it's good to be back together on Sunday morning, on the Lord's Day. As you know, most of you know, we have been preaching a series of sermons out of the book of Proverbs to start the new year, and their principles for successful living in 2016, and really any time, because this is the wisdom that God gave King Solomon when he asked for wisdom as a young man before he ascended to the throne of Israel. And so there are principles that we can glean today in our everyday lives. And one of the things we've determined as we've looked at this scripture together is that Solomon believes that we need guardrails in our lives. We've been talking about guardrails, spiritual guardrails. And remember, a guardrail is just an image in our mind. It's a symbol. A guardrail is something that you put in a safe zone to keep you out of a danger zone. And so we need guardrails in different areas of our lives. And we've been talking about that, the different ways in which we need guardrails. And I realize, I'm fully aware that I have probably stepped on every single person's toes in this room. And I want you to understand that I'm not up here in some ivory tower. I've been affected by it too. And I just want to confess right off the bat, this topic that we're going to look at today, I have had more difficulty with anger in the last 2 or 3 weeks. Different things. Don't put anything in your mind, just different things that I've been dealing with. And I know y'all think I'm a laid-back guy and I've got a long fuse, but I do have a fuse. And I'm here to tell you, I know it's tough. These things I'm preaching on are not easy. But I just keep remembering it's not by my might, not by my power, thank God, but by His Spirit. And it's by the Spirit of God that we can live this way. And when we live this way, we'll be successful. We'll live that abundant life that Christ promised in John chapter 10, verse 10. So that's my confession today. I just wanted to say that off the bat. But Proverbs 14, we're going to talk about this issue of anger. Anger. All of us understand this issue of anger, and I think all of us would agree we live in an increasingly angry society. I mean, there's not a week that goes by that you don't hear stories of people who've let their anger get out of control. Whether it's a disgruntled employee that's fired from a company, and he comes back with a rifle and shoots people. Or if it's a story of someone who is driving down the road and they get cut off by someone else, or something happens in traffic and they run that person down and they beat him senseless on the side of the highway. Or we hear stories of how children are horribly abused by parents or maybe significant others because that person can't control their temper. I heard a story not too long ago. This is a true story. I guess if you believe Fox News is a true story. But I heard a story about a man who was ordered to attend an anger management seminar because he had some problems with anger in his life and he had hurt some people because of it. And so the judge ordered him to attend this workshop. Well, the day of the workshop arrived and the man was drunk before he came. He came to the workshop drunk. And when he arrived, the person who was leading the event became incensed and beat him up to the point that later on he died. Anger. Out of control. Let's just be honest. I don't care who you are. I don't care what your personality is. Even if you're a Christian, anger can be very difficult to control. And Solomon says very clearly that if you want to be a success in life, you've got to control your anger. Yes, you've got to control your lust. We've talked about that. You've got to control your speech. You've got to have a handle on your finances. But this issue of anger is very, very important. Satan can get at us through anger like nothing else. And so over and over again, we see that principle in Proverbs. So today, we're going to take a look at what I'm entitling anger management. Anger management. And again, I need it just as much as anyone in this room. But I'm in Proverbs 14, and I want to read a couple verses out of Proverbs 14, verses 16 and 17, and then I want to jump over to 29:11. This will kind of be our catch-all verse as we look through the verses of God's Word in the book of Proverbs. In chapter 14, this is what Solomon says in verse 16. A wise man is cautious and turns from evil, but a fool is easily angered and is careless. A quick-tempered man acts foolishly, it says in the beginning of verse 17. Now over to 29 in verse 11. If you don't necessarily turn there, you can read it on the screen. But in verse chapter 29, verse 11, listen to this. A fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man holds it in check. Let's pray together. Father, we know that anger is a God-given emotion. Lord, we know that all of our emotions are given by You, but we know that as believers in Jesus Christ, as Spirit-filled, born-again people, we must control these emotions so that they don't get the best of us. Lord, we know that we need guardrails in our lives when it comes to the issue of anger. And Lord, we're all different with our personalities and we handle anger differently. I just pray that You'd help me today as I preach. I pray that Your Spirit would please speak through me and help me to say some things that are beneficial and helpful and edifying so that we can learn to control our anger, so that we can be pleasing in Your sight, so that we can live lives that are freed from some of the junk that we face when we are bound and messed up by the things of the world. God, I pray again that You would just help me to preach this message today. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the world says, express your anger. Solomon, and even more importantly, God says, control your anger. How do you do that? I don't know if you've given much thought to that lately, and that's really where God would have us to speak today and talk, is how we control our anger. A wise person who really wants to be successful in life learns how to turn away from his anger, how to deal with it. And as I said, that's not the norm today. There's a lot of people that are dumping their anger on everybody today. And so, how do we control our anger? Well, there's three things I would like to suggest as we look at the passage today, as well as some others. Again, you're going to have to let your fingers do the walking. We're going to be in several places in Proverbs today. But here's point number one. We can learn to effectively manage anger when we understand what's going on inside us. I think the first thing is we need to look inwardly. We need to understand what's going on inside of us. Therefore, it's very important that we define anger. I've got a very important definition of anger. Now, some of you are looking at me right now, you're saying, well, why in the world do I need to define anger? I know what it is. You're kind of like the Supreme Court Justice from several years ago. Trying to think what his name is. Anyway, they were doing a study on things that are illicit on pornography. That's what it was on. This was back in the 60s. And he said, this was a famous statement he made. He said, well, I don't know exactly how to define it, but I know what it is when I see it. And maybe that's how you feel about anger. You know what it is when you see it. Well, I need to help you understand that anger is something that you feel. It's an emotion. Let me give you an example. Let's say you're driving down the interstate. You're out here on I-44. You're just minding your own business, driving to Springfield or driving somewhere. And you look out your rearview mirror and you see somebody coming behind you at a very rapid rate of speed. And they're closing on you. And before you know it, they swerve over into the other lane and they pass you right quick, cut off some traffic, somebody's honking. And then they cut back in front of you and almost clip you and then they take off. And you're mad. What happens to you? Well, your pulse rate goes up. You may begin to sweat. You have an emotional response. Your heart starts to beat faster. Maybe there's something in the pit of your stomach. And your first reaction is to chase that sucker down and have a word with him. Or maybe more than that. That's the natural emotion of anger. Anger is an emotional response. Let me give you another example. Maybe you're a lady here in the room today. And some of your friends have invited you to go out to a birthday party. And you'd like to go and celebrate with them, but it's a weeknight. And the kids have homework, and it's a school night. And your husband says, honey, don't worry. Go out and enjoy time. You need this time. I've got the kids. I've got it covered. Take a couple hours and go have fun and then come back. Well, you decide to go out and do that. You come back 2 hours later. The house is totally torn up. The kids are running wild. They've not had their bath. They've not done their homework. You come up to your husband in the living room and he's sound asleep in the easy chair with the TV on. That's anger that you're feeling right now. Some of you know that emotion all too well. Here's a definition that will really help us all to understand. This is a great definition for anger. Anger is a natural, physical, emotional response to a perceived injustice. That's, if you want to jot that down, that's a great definition. A natural, physical, emotional response. All of this is something that God has placed inside of you. Alright? In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 26 and 27, this is a famous passage on anger. It says, be angry and do not sin. By the way, this is something that is unique to anger. When I read my Bible, I don't find any place in the Bible where it says, be greedy, but don't sin. Or be lustful and do not sin. So that tells me that anger is a natural God-given emotion. You know, the Bible says in Genesis 1, we're created in God's image, right? You know that God has this emotion of anger? God gets angry over things, but God handles it appropriately. And so we need to handle our anger appropriately as well. So the real question is, how do you express this anger? And here's the danger. Here's why we need the guardrails out here for anger. Because if we're not careful, anger is a very dangerous area for all of us. No matter who we are, no matter what our personalities. If we're not careful, we can get too close to the edge and we'll do something we regret. Remember, the guardrails are to keep us from doing something we regret that we can never take back. Whether it's a drinking guardrail, a sexual guardrail, or an anger guardrail. And so we need to have some guardrails, because when we start to feel that emotional response, we're in a danger zone. And so we need to be careful. And really, there's two reasons why it's dangerous. All right? And the first reason is because of the second part of this definition I gave you. Okay? It's dangerous when we get angry because oftentimes we have incomplete information. All right? Look at this up here, the definition again. It is a physical or natural physical emotional response to a perceived injustice. How many times, we can raise our hands, every one of us, so please don't, but you could raise your hand. I know I could too. How many times have you gotten angry because you didn't fully understand what was going on? Guilty as charged. I've done that many times. I have judged someone, or I've perceived an injustice or a slight on myself when I really didn't know the full story. I didn't have all the facts. Let's go back to our little illustrations, okay? Think back with me about that driver that's driving like a maniac down I-44 and he cuts you off in traffic and then flies on by. Let's say you do go ahead and drive and you catch up to him and you get him to pull off to the side of the road and you're ready to let him have it, at least verbally. And you look into his car, and he's got a sick baby in the back. That changes the dynamic, doesn't it? Then you flag him on. You say, come on, I'll help. I'll call the highway patrol and help you. That changes the situation. Why? Because you have complete information. Now, let's go back to this story for the lady that went out on the birthday party. And she went to visit with her friends. And let's say she comes home, and what she didn't realize is her husband got very ill, and he had to take some cold medicine, and he fell asleep. That changed the dynamic, wouldn't it? Well, probably not. But work with me, okay? Work with me. I'm a guy, okay? What I'm saying, I'm trying to make it a little bit lighthearted, but the point is oftentimes we have incomplete information. And when we don't have all the facts, we can enter into dangerous anger. But then there's another side to this. It is dangerous when we express anger inappropriately. When I express my anger inappropriately, even if it is a true injustice, even when I've been treated improperly, if I express my anger inappropriately, then that's a danger side. That's a guardrail I need in my life. And by the way, you're always going to express your anger because it's a natural, God-given emotion. You're not going to just suddenly stop feeling angry. You're not going to become a mature Christian and suddenly never get angry. Sorry, it's just not going to happen. You're always going to express anger. The question is, how will you express anger? Will you deal with it in a healthy manner? And I want to take you to another passage. And again, you don't have to necessarily turn over there, but in Colossians, in the New Testament. We're just going to spend just a minute over there. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 8, that's a great, great chapter in the Bible. Paul says, but now you must also put away all the following. And he uses the word anger right off the bat, and then he uses two words to describe inappropriately handling anger. Two ways in which we inappropriately handle it. And I want you to pay attention to that. these two words in Colossians 3:8, there they are right up there on the screen, wrath and malice. Those are two inappropriate ways to handle anger in your life. Wrath and malice. What do those two words mean? Well, I think wrath is probably an easier one for us to define. I think we understand wrath pretty well. Sometimes we still even use it in our society today. But the Greek word for wrath means rage. It's an outward explosion of anger, kind of like a volcano erupting. All of us have seen wrath. We've seen wrath in certain people. Maybe we've even experienced wrath in our own lives. We've all heard of people who go into a blind rage. They are so mad they can't even see straight. Their hearts are beating faster and they lose control of their speech and their actions. That's wrath. Wrath is a sin. It's a sin to be wrathful in your anger. And sometimes when we're overwhelmed with anger, we can respond with wrath. We're going to help hopefully give you some ideas on how to avoid that. But then there's that second word up there, okay? Malice. Now that one may be harder for you because we don't use that as often. Maybe in a courtroom we might use the term malice. But what is malice? Well, wrath is first of all anger expressed outwardly. Malice is anger that is expressed inwardly. So malice is when you choose to stuff something. Now maybe it's a situation where you feel like you're angry. I mean, you're really angry, but for whatever reason you just suppress it for that point in time. Maybe it's because it's a matter between your spouse and you just suppress it. Or maybe it's with your boss and they have the potential to fire you or get rid of you, and so you just have to eat it. You've got all kinds of words you want to say, but you don't say it. And anyone or any situation like that, when you stuff it or when you turn it inwardly, that's malice. And malice can be difficult as well. Actually, it's just as dangerous to suppress as it is to express anger. So you got to deal with it in a positive way. In fact, if you do that, what that's really going to lead to is bitterness and resentment, an angry spirit, and even some health difficulties because you suppress your anger on a regular basis. I want you to listen to this. This is interesting. There's a doctor who's a Christian and a clinical psychologist. His name is Frank Minaret. Listen to what he says. He says, pent-up anger is probably the leading cause of death in America today. I'd say he's probably right. Pent-up anger is one of the leading causes of death in America today. So the problem, and here's another problem with malice, is it rarely stays suppressed. Here's the thing. Oftentimes if I suppress it in that moment, later on I'm going to dump it on somebody else over here. And that's where you really hurt someone who's innocent. Maybe I'd go home, I have a bad day at work and I dump it on my kids or my wife. Or I dump it on somebody at church. And that's really bad. So we don't want to do that. And that's why Solomon says we've got to deal with our anger. And he gives us several proverbs that help us how to, teach us how to deal with it in a healthy manner. Where we're not exploding with rage, nor are we suppressing or stuffing it with this issue of malice. All right? So then we're going to talk about how to deal with it appropriately. And that's point number two. We can learn to effectively manage anger when we begin to deal with it appropriately. From here on out, we're going to talk about how to control anger, how to deal with angry, volatile situations in our lives, okay? And first of all, we've got to learn with how to deal with it in our own lives effectively. Listen to Proverbs 25 and verse 28. This is going to give you a little motivation to learn to control your anger, because you can have victory in your life. Proverbs 25, verse 28 says, a man who does not control his temper is like a city whose wall is broken down. Now, do you remember back when in the summer when we were studying the book of Nehemiah? What was the problem in Jerusalem? The wall was broken down. And so they had no protection. They had no security. They were a broken city until that wall was resurrected, was rebuilt. And that's the great story of the story of Nehemiah. Well, here, Solomon is saying, a man who can't control his temper is just like a city whose wall is broken down. You are vulnerable to all kinds of things, and you're not ever going to get anywhere in your life. You're certainly not going to live successfully. So hopefully, that'll give you the motivation to control your anger. Now, let me give you some steps to control it, okay? And I'm telling you, I need this too. I'm talking to myself. I've preached this message. I've applied this already. In these last couple of weeks. Number one, whenever you feel angry, take an emotional time out. When you really feel your blood boiling and you feel all these emotional, natural, physical responses, the first thing you need to do is take an emotional time out. Call a TO, baby. If you're in a conversation with someone and you feel yourself getting madder and madder, maybe you need to step away from that conversation. If you're in a situation where you're driving and you're getting madder and madder about a situation, maybe you need to pull over. If you're in a situation, maybe you just need to leave the room or leave the building or leave the house. You see, removing yourself from the situation isn't a sign of weakness. According to Solomon, it's a sign of strength. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 11. And this is the New Living Translation. I like how it reads. People with good sense restrain their anger. They earn esteem by overlooking wrongs. So there's nothing wrong with calling an emotional timeout. But number two goes really close to number one, okay? And that's that you need to do something while you're in that timeout. At Upward Basketball, when we call a timeout, or at a basketball game or a football game, you're planning, you're talking, you're looking at the board. They got the board up and they're drawing plays up. You're doing something during that timeout. Well, during your emotional timeout, when you're angry, you've got to do something as well. And that's number two, analyze the cause of your anger. Analyze the cause of your anger. You see, the purpose of the timeout is not avoidance. It's not to avoid what's going on, but rather to analyze it. And folks, if you can really do this, if I can really do this, I can learn a lot, and I might avoid a lot of nasty situations. This is a natural guardrail. Now, this takes humility, and you got to think properly about this, but it can really save you from a volatile, emotional, angry situation. When you're analyzing this situation, you've called the timeout and you're analyzing it, there's two questions you need to ask yourself. All right? Two questions. Question number one, what's the real cause of my anger? What's the real cause of my anger? Do you know a lot of times we're angry because of something that's going on inside of us or something that has very little to do with that situation? How many times do you hear somebody say, well, that was just the straw that broke the camel's back? How many of you would agree that oftentimes pride can fuel anger? Sometimes I'm angry because something didn't go my way and I'm a proud man. And I'm proud and I didn't want it to happen that way. And pride can fuel anger. Selfishness or envy can fuel anger. Sometimes I'm just selfish and I want what I want when I want it. And I'm not willing to give it up. Or I'm envious because somebody else has something that I don't have. And that can fuel my anger. Now this gets into some more technical things that sometimes we need even help with. But depression can fuel anger. If I'm really depressed, it can fuel my anger. Bitterness. There's all kinds of things, but the first thing you've got to do when you analyze your anger is ask yourself the question, why is it, or what's the real cause of my anger? And then the second question is very close on the heels of it, why am I feeling this way? Another way to word that is, am I right to feel this way? You know the term righteous anger. There are some things that we ought to be angry about. If I'm never angry about anything, then I'm not much of a Christian. I'm not much of a man or a person. There's some times where I ought to righteously be angry. And there are some hills that we ought to die on. But I need to ask myself this question as I analyze it. Am I right to feel this way? I think when I was thinking about that, I couldn't help but think about when Elijah ran through the wilderness and he was mad. And he said, man, God, I'm the only one who hasn't bowed the knee to Baal. And was that true? No, it wasn't true. And God reminded him of that. But God reminded him of it gently. God restored him back to health. But I need to ask myself, am I right to feel this way? And then, of course, another great question, we've already kind of talked about this, is do I have complete and accurate information? Do I really know everything there is to know about this situation? Or am I flying off the handle, not really understanding all that's going on here? A lot of times when we're angry, we don't have all the facts. Listen to what Solomon says. This is Proverbs 18 and verse 13. The one who gives an answer before he listens, this is foolishness and a disgrace for him. Man, that's a verse that I need to apply. I need to listen to people before I fly off the handle. Now, here's the third thing. We need to learn to overlook minor offenses. I think this is where we get bent out of shape. I think this is a problem with our society today. Learn to overlook minor offenses. Listen, if you go through your life holding on to every minor offense that someone commits against you, you're going to be a perpetually angry person. And not only that, you're going to be a miserable person. You're going to be in for a rough time because all of us are slighted from time to time. Somebody forgets to call you back. Somebody forgets to pay you back. Somebody forgets an appointment that you have or something going on in your life and you get mad about it. There are all kinds of things that that disappoint us. All kinds of things that can really make us angry. And a wise person, according to King Solomon and God, learns to overlook these minor offenses. When something doesn't go your way or when somebody does something minor to you, what you need to do is this. Go ahead and acknowledge it. Why? Because anger is a natural response. We can't help but get angry. Acknowledge it and get over it. That's what we got to do, guys. That's the advice that Solomon would give us. Listen to chapter 12 and verse 16. A fool is quick-tempered, but a wise person stays calm when insulted. So it really is true. You got a lot of stuff you got to just let it slide off your back. And pastors have to let it slide off their back because there's a lot of times where we just have some minor offenses that we let build up and fester inside of us. Learn to overlook minor offenses. Listen to chapter 3 and verse 30 of Proverbs. And this is the New King James Version. Do not strive with a man without cause if he has done you no harm. If he has done you no harm. So we've got to learn to overlook minor offenses. But then there is another side. We need to learn to forgive major offenses. If you're going to deal with anger in your life, you've got to learn to forgive, that's a big word, major offenses. Because the truth of the matter is not every offense is a minor offense. Sometimes the offenses that we endure cannot be easily overlooked. Sometimes we have something happen in our lives, somebody does something to us that really, really hurts us. It knocks us down. The unfaithfulness of a mate. The abuse of a parent. The unfair dismissal of an employer. You just don't get over those things in a minute. They take time. They take healing. You've got to have healing in your life for that to take place. And here's God's antidote to healing. All right? Now this sounds so simple, yet it's so hard to do. The antidote to heal is forgiveness. Forgiveness is the antidote to healing. And what forgiveness really is, Chuck Swindoll had the best definition I ever heard. Forgiveness is when I give up my right to hurt you back. I don't necessarily have to let you back in my life if you're going to hurt me again, but I give up my right to hurt you back. Because really, when I hold on to that and I'm going to hurt you and I'm going to get you back one of these days, you know who else may hurt? Myself. I imprison myself into a prison of hatred and bitterness and envy. And all I can do really to be free is to release that, to ask for God to help me forgive. And I know that's not easy. I know there's some cases where that is one of the hardest things you ever have to do. But folks, if we're Christians, that's what we're called on to do and be. That's what God has done for us. And because we've been forgiven so much, more than we'll ever have to forgive someone else, we've got to be forgivers. Listen, forgiveness isn't optional. It's essential for the follower of Christ. Listen to what it says in chapter 10 and verse 12. Hatred stirs up conflicts, but love covers all offenses. Some of you may know that better, where Peter quotes that in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 8. I love it. Love covers a multitude of sins. That's how Peter puts it. And how about Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32? Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as God also forgave you in Christ. Folks, sometimes the most powerful testimony you can ever give is a testimony of forgiveness. And the same is true for me. But really, that's only half the equation. That's not the whole story. We've talked about how we personally deal with anger in our own hearts. And certainly that's true a lot of times. But what about when the shoe's on the other foot? Some of you can be accosted regularly by an angry person. Maybe you work in a job. I don't know if anybody here is a telemarketer, but I'd imagine if you're on the phone a lot in your job, you deal with angry people, whatever line of work you're in. But what if from time to time, all of us have to deal with an angry person? How do you respond in that situation? That's the last thing I want to talk to you about today, is how you deal with someone. And I was going to ask you to raise your hands, but I won't do it because some of you may look at the person next to you, and I hope you've not been angry at the person next to you this week. It may be your spouse, but don't raise your hand. Don't do that. But here's how you can deal with a situation where somebody else is angry at you and you're in the midst of this angry situation. Number three, we can learn to effectively manage anger when we are prepared for angry encounters. When we prepare ourselves for angry encounters. Solomon says, you need to prepare. You need to be ready because these things are going to happen to you. We all will deal with angry people from time to time. And I love what it says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 18. This is the word of Paul. If possible, on your part, live at peace with everyone. You got to be a peacemaker. You know, it's hard to be a peacemaker. Everybody wants peace, but you got to work to really preserve peace. And so we got to be a peacemaker. So what are some things we can do? Well, first of all, one that you can do is don't associate with angry people. Don't associate with angry people. Just try to get away from it. Get as far away from it as possible. If you, now sometimes you may not have any choice. You have to be around someone, but as far as you can, get away from the hothead. Don't associate with it because, listen to me, anger is a learned behavior. Folks, now I've heard people say, well, I just inherited my dad's Irish temper. And there may be some truth to that. I don't know. But it is a learned trait. I mean, you learn it as you watch other people. And so listen to what Solomon says. He says, stay away from angry people. Chapter 14 and verse 7. Stay away from a foolish man. You will gain no knowledge from his speech. And in 22, here's where it's really clearly spelled out. 24 and 25. Don't make friends with an angry man. And don't be a companion of a hot-tempered man. Or you will learn his ways and entangle yourself in a snare. Now I've got a little bit of advice that I want to give to the young people in this room, or single people in the room, okay? This is very important advice that will spare you a lot of heartache down the road. Don't date and or marry someone who is an angry person. As you get to know someone, if they're an angry person, if they always are flying off the handle, if they verbally are ugly to you, don't date them. And certainly don't marry them. Because what's going to happen is ultimately, when you marry that person, you're going to be miserable and you're going to be feeling their anger all the time. You're going to be the object of their wrath. And you're probably going to be dealing with malice in your own life and situations and problems. So that's a recipe for disaster. So don't associate with angry people. But second of all, when you're in that situation where you can't avoid it, this is what you do. Listen carefully and try to identify with the angry person. Listen carefully and try to identify with that person. Listen to what it says in chapter 15 and verse 1. You'll know this one because this is the one that one of the ones we probably memorize and we know. A gentle answer turns away anger, but a harsh word stirs up wrath. Folks, instead of criticizing someone, even emotionally or in our minds, if we'll try to identify with them, we can diffuse a situation. Maybe ask them some questions like, you know, I understand how you're feeling right now. If I were you and this had happened to me, I'd be just as angry as you are. And I understand. Instead of criticizing, you're trying to identify with them. Gary Chapman wrote a book called The Five Love Languages, and he's a great Christian psychologist, but he also wrote a great book on anger. It's called The Other Side of Love. And he said there are seven steps for dealing with an angry person. Step one is to listen. Step number two is to listen. Step number three is to listen. And you get the picture, and so on and so forth. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 29, New Living Translation. Those who control their anger have great understanding. Those with a hasty temper will make mistakes. Chapter 16, verse 32. Patience is better than power, and controlling one's temper better than capturing a city. So that's just, again, an admonition for us to practically take care of it by identifying with the other person. Then, second of all, or thirdly, right along with that, is to answer softly and slowly. Answer them softly and slowly. Think before you speak. We've talked about that already when we talked about verbal guardrails a couple weeks ago. Listen to chapter 20 and verse 3. It is honorable for a man to resolve a dispute,
But any fool can get himself into a quarrel. Chapter 26 and verse 4. Don't answer a fool according to his foolishness, or you'll be like him yourself. Here's what I want you to imagine, okay, as you're thinking about this situation. You've got an angry person in your face, and you have a choice to make, sometimes very quickly. And in one hand, you have a can of water, and you can douse out the flames. But in the other hand, you have a can of gasoline. And you can say something, just incense them and make them madder, and even blow it out of proportion. What are you going to do? You're going to throw the water on the situation and diffuse it, or the gasoline and heighten it even more? Here's another one. And again, it's this magic word that is so crucial to Christian theology. Ask forgiveness if necessary. Ask forgiveness if necessary. Nothing will take the wind out of an angry person's sails any quicker than this response. I'm sorry for what I did. Would you forgive me? Folks, that's the essence of the Christian life. Forgiving others and being forgiven. What a great, great way to solve conflict and dispute in the church. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. Put on heartfelt compassion, kindness, humility, and patience. Accepting one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against you, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. Over and over again, the Bible talks about these principles of having a clear conscience, of being slow to anger, and the key to it all is forgiveness and being forgiven. And you know, that just reminds me today, as I kind of draw this to a conclusion, is that we need to understand what it is to be forgiven before we can forgive. And that's the key to being a Christian, being to walk in these principles by the power of the Spirit, is that we've been forgiven. What it really all comes back to is your heart. Solomon said that, didn't he? Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. Listen to this. This is a key verse in all of Proverbs. Guard your heart above all else, for it is the source of life. Guard your heart. That's what we do when we throw ourselves at the feet of Jesus. We give Him our heart. We use that terminology. Sometimes kids don't understand what that means, but that just means that we make Him our Master and our Savior. We realize we're nothing without Him, and we throw ourselves at His feet, and we give up. We give up and we give in to His control, His leadership, His love, and His forgiveness. And we release all that bitterness and all that anger, and we ultimately preserve our own lives. Isn't that what He says? The man who wants to save his life will lose it. The man who loses his life will save it. Heard a story a while back that happened several years ago, and I'll close with this story today. It's an awesome story to make this point about guarding your heart. But several years ago, there was a guy that was watching eagles a little ways from here, and he was watching the beautiful eagle soaring through the air, and he was watching this eagle as he would soar in the sky, and he was by a river, and so the eagle was coming down, swooping down, and he grabbed something from out the riverbank and then swooped back up into the sky, and it was majestic. Any of you that watch eagles, you know what a wonderful thing that is, how awesome that is to watch that eagle. But as that beautiful eagle was flying in the sky, before too much longer, it began to fly erratically. And it was flapping its wings and flying erratically, and suddenly it crashed to the ground. And the guy couldn't believe it. And so he decided, well, I'm going to go over there and find out what's going on. And so he ran over to where the eagle had landed. And he went over there, and the eagle, the bird, there were feathers everywhere, and the bird was on the ground, face down, and he rolled the bird over, and the bird was dead, and immediately he saw what had happened. See, that eagle had swooped down to the riverbank and had caught a badger. And in its talons, it had brought that badger up to its chest, and it was holding on to that badger. And guess what that badger did? It began to bite him and eat away, and the badger literally ate away at his heart until he stopped his heartbeat. And that bird died immediately, and it crashed to the ground, dead. All that bird had to do to preserve its life was let go of the badger. But it simply wouldn't let it go. And the end came very dismally. Folks, that's what happens when we have anger in our heart or anything we hold on to. God wants to take our heart and renew it. He wants to renew us. He wants to save us. But the longer you hold on to it, the worse it's going to get. And ultimately, it's going to end in death. There is a way, Solomon says in Proverbs 14, that seems right to a man, but its end is death. Only Jesus can heal an angry heart. So let me quote this passage and then we'll close today. Psalms 139, verse 23. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my concerns. See if there is any offensive way in me. Lead me in the everlasting way. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes this morning. With heads bowed and eyes closed, what's in your heart today? You know, we've talked about anger, and this is a practical series where we're trying to deal with issues in our lives so that we can live overcoming lives of victory. But let me just ask you, what's in your heart today? Solomon says, guard your hearts at all costs because it is the source of life. Let me ask you this, do you have Jesus in your heart today? Do you know Jesus as your Savior? I'm not asking if you're perfect. This pastor just got up here a few minutes ago and talked about how I've blown it with anger and other sins in my life. But one thing I do have is I have the Spirit in me. And I can recover. And I can live victoriously. The next time I can do better because the Spirit of God is in my life. And He can be in yours too. He's a prayer away. But you got to humble yourself. You got to humble yourself and pray. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. I don't know what you need to do today, but I'm going to pray a prayer here in just a second. And after I pray, we're going to have our invitation. If you need to come forward for any reason today to be saved, which you can do that right there in your seat, but you need to make a public profession when you're saved. You don't need to be ashamed to let people know that Jesus is your Savior. Or if you just need to pray at this altar because there's some issue that's eating away at you, like that badger ate away at that eagle's heart, this is the time to do that during the time of invitation. Father, I love You and I thank You for the doctrines of grace and forgiveness. The Christian life is built upon this principle, this theology, and I'm so thankful that You've forgiven me. You've forgiven me of so much more than I'll ever have to forgive someone else of. Lord, I pray that You would help us today with this issue of anger. It's definitely a guardrail we need in our lives. Solomon has pointed out very clearly and succinctly today. And yet, because it's an emotional, natural response, it's awful easy for us not to have those guardrails in place. Lord, it's awful easy for us to lose our testimony or to hinder or hurt a relationship or maybe even do something that won't keep us from salvation but will hinder us in our walk here on this earth. So help us, Lord, to put guardrails in our lives. As Christians, we ought to be horrified with angry behavior and we ought to want to be as far away from that as possible because we've been bought by love. We've been bought through forgiveness. And so help us, Lord, to put these guardrails up in our lives. And if anyone needs to make any kind of decision today, Lord, I pray that they would have the courage to do so. Thank You for Your love and for Your grace. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.